Reading is from Acts chapter 4, verses 32 and 34. All the believers were in one heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions were their own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all that there was no needy person among them. For from that time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone who had need. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, church. Our gospel reading is from John chapter 20, verses 19 to 31, and you can find that on page 1089 of our church Bibles. 1089. That's John 20, starting at verse 19. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. This is the word of the Lord.
So let's start at the obvious place for this week, which is the first week after Easter. So I don't know about you, but you've probably found you've had enough of chocolate by now. You've got empty Easter baskets. And I'm not sure actually whether children nowadays actually get their supply of chocolate for the whole year in the amount they get. But don't worry if you're running out of chocolate, because there's always chocolate to look forward to. It won't be long before we start thinking about Advent again, and then we get chocolate all over again. So there we are. But it is all left over, probably got a little bit left over that we're eating up. But is Easter over? Somebody asked that question before. Is Easter actually over? Actually, we are still saying, "He is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah." So we're still saying that, and that's because Jesus is risen, and he has risen for all, for the whole time. So when the children go back to school, we'll still be remembering about Easter. We'll still be thinking about Easter. Do you remember that stone from last week that was the barrier? That stone is rolled away. We're not going to start putting that barrier back up again, so that it is he, the risen Lord. So much for the chocolate bunnies then and the empty Easter baskets. Today, we want the meaning of Jesus' resurrection to continue and to never stop. And to do that, I want to talk about three components to Jesus' appearances to his disciples that can be helpful for us, and that we can do that and continue to work on our journey of faith. And they are place, peace, and presence. So, among the many details of the Easter story, there are some very simple things that are easy to miss. And one of them is the place. The place where Jesus chose to meet his disciples after he rose again. He met them not in a grand sanctuary, not in a palace, not in actually one of their homes, and not by the Sea of Galilee, where he spent a lot of time with them. Not even back to the Garden of Gethsemane. And if you go to Israel, you can see all these places. They are still there. But Jesus went to a locked room that was hidden from most people. I don't think that room exists now, because Jerusalem was destroyed and the whole of it with it, so that won't exist. But that's where he met them. So why did he meet them there? Precisely because it was the place where the disciples were all huddled together, and they were all huddled together in fear. Don't forget what they just witnessed. Jesus' death on the cross, and there was no doubt that they feared that might be a similar thing that would happen to them. To quiet and reassure them, Jesus went to where they were at that time. And we can believe the same, because he does the same for us. He meets us where we are, wherever that may be. Certainly it can be here in the orchards, or it can be in other places that we love. But it can also be in hectic places of work. In hospitals, where it's very sterile and formative. In dark rooms in the middle of the night. Noisy classrooms. Wherever we are, because he loves us with an everlasting love, God comes to meet us. God comes to meet us. We don't have to go to him. The place where Jesus meets us matters, not because of its beauty or simplicity, but because wherever it is, it's the place where he gives us his peace. True peace. Peace of the heart to quieten fears. Peace of mind to still doubts. Peace where there's turbulence in our families, in marriages, in the world. Peace where jobs are tenuous, where health is fragile, where people feel lost. In all those places, Jesus comes to bring peace. When you go to a dictionary and you search for the opposite of peace, you'll find many words tinged by the effects of what of our sin. Discord, trouble, conflict, war, fighting, upheaval, anxiety, worry. That's life, really, much as we know it. And Jesus comes to bring peace. To quiet the disciples and us, Jesus reassured them, and he said, "Peace be with you." And a longer bit later on, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives." What does his peace look like? And what does it feel like? I suspect, and this has been asked by people before, that if I asked you to draw a picture of what you consider to be a peaceful place, I'd suspect that you're going to come up with a lot of serene scenes that we often see. So I'm expecting lots of pictures of beautiful gardens with flowers and lakes and things like that. Or maybe even it might be the picture of a calm sea on a lovely summer's day. You all can have a picture of what you might consider to be peace. There was one artist who actually drew this picture. They drew a black sky with ominous clouds, howling winds, driving rain, blowing leaves, bent over flowers, and the rain was like a torrent as it was coming down. But what you had to do was to look a little bit closer at the picture, because in the crevice of an oak tree, there was a bird at rest inside. And in spite of the turbulence around her, the mother bird sat peacefully brooding her eggs. Here she was, safe from her predatory enemies, shielded and protected from the raging storm. Even more than our pictures of peace, it was peace like the days after Easter in a locked room with fearful disciples. God with us, no matter what. The Hebrew word for peace is shalom. Now, we don't tend to greet each other with that word. If we did, we'd always be saying, peace, peace, peace. I think it sometimes seems to be reserved for the bit of communion when we do go around and say, peace be with you. But in Israel, it's a common greeting. And if you meet anybody, you say shalom, and that which means peace. So it is a common greeting. Place and peace matter. And so does presence, our presence. Because 10 of the disciples were present in the locked room. They experienced Jesus' calming presence and heard his calming words of peace. But 10 disciples are not 12 disciples. Who was missing? Judas and Thomas. At about the same time, Judas felt the pangs of guilt for betraying Jesus, and he went to the chief priests to return the 30 pieces of silver. Matthew tells us in his gospel, Judas was seized with remorse and returned the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests. He confessed, "I have sinned in betraying innocent blood." But the chief priest said, "What is that to us? That's your responsibility." So Judas threw the money into the temple and left. Then he went away and hanged himself. Judas was absent that night with Jesus and the others when it mattered most. Would his life have been different if he'd stayed with the others? If he'd been there when Jesus appeared, would he have heard the always certain absolution from Jesus? Scripture does not tell us, but it does give us pause to wonder. And what about Thomas? He too was absent. Scripture does not tell us why Thomas was absent, and there may have been very good reasons for his absence. But it does tell us, unlike those who were present, he spent an entire week wondering, doubting, questioning, living in fear. Anxiety he need not have had if he'd been with the others that night. Then too, what about us being present? Do we find the right time and place to experience the presence of Jesus? Because Jesus has risen from the dead, he is alive. We can experience his presence wherever we are. We don't have to wait for him to come to church. Maybe his presence is in the mundane tasks and places we go. It might be in the beautiful things we do, the long walks, the lovely gardens, the seaside. Or it could also be on a noisy train, when we've just missed the bus, or at times when we're feeling sad. Jesus' presence is with us all the time. He's there when the door is locked, when we're in that dark place, and he comes to say, "Peace be with you." So what changed that day? Well, they were very different people from that experience. And for that, we look in the reading in Acts 4. Could you imagine this group of people who are locked in that room that night, becoming a functional community, serving others from behind closed doors? I suspect that experience changed them so much that they were able to form that community and grow that community into whatever it was, from being frightened, angry people. Let's end with this. Those who track things such that are reported every Easter, apparently UK consumers collectively spend more than £1 billion on food, drink, gifts and entertainments. And believe it or not, about £80 million on chocolate eggs. It ranks up, if you want the statistics, to a bill exceeding £50 for every single one of us. Lots of fun facts that need one more. Remember, the place, peace and presence of the risen Saviour. With him there is grace, peace, forgiveness and new life. The blessings that are ours through his sacrificial death and triumphant resurrection. Let's do all we can to be with him and each other. We can say to be in his presence, to sit at his feet, where his love surrounds us and makes us complete. This is our desire. Let's desire the Lord Jesus amongst us now. And we're going to sing that as we're going to make a response to the living Lord. And feel free to worship and at this time presence, his presence before the end of the service.